Welcome to the Word of Life Church podcast. It's an absolute delight to have you with us. Today, brace yourselves for a message that's not just timely, but transformative, an inspiring and uplifting word straight from God's heart to yours. We're immensely grateful to our partners for their unwavering support, enabling us to spread this beacon of hope and faith across the globe. Your efforts are changing lives, and for that, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts. If you feel called to join our mission and want to become a partner, please visit thelife.cc/give. Your support can make a world of difference. Now, let's dive into today's word, confident that it will directly speak to your heart, strengthen your faith, and inspire you to live out God's purpose for your life. You can be seated today, tonight. Can I say tonight? Okay. When's like that? When's the line? Is it like after six that you say tonight? Is it like there's like this sort of threshold somewhere? Five. So after five, it's like good afternoon, and then 5:01, good evening. Okay, interesting. Okay, so that's the rule now. Just so you know. But before we get started, I first of all want to thank you guys for being here. Fondren has a very special place in many people's hearts, as it does in mine. We pray for this place all the time, and we expect at one point that there's going to be a revival here, man. And the glory of God is in this place. The presence of God is something that's like palpable. Like you know that people that come to Fondren are coming for the good stuff. Right? And so it's just a matter of time before we see it all play out. And, you know, Fondren, you guys having your own building, right? Your own place. So we've been praying it out, even in staff, you know, lands for the plans. That's kind of like what has been in our heart. And so it's just a matter of time. But I don't say this just for me. You know, we hear it from all over, people that listen to our podcast. Their favorite podcast, or at least the podcast that gets the most feedback, is the 6 p.m. podcast. And I don't know about you. I don't know if you've been here with us before in the past few weeks, but Pastor has been talking about a subject that at any other moment and in any other place, it could be one of those subjects that kind of make people uncomfortable. He's been talking about money. He's been talking about prosperity. But he's communicated it in such a like precise way that it's changed my life. And to give you a little background, you guys know me, but give you a little background, that the family that I was born in and kind of like the ministry of my parents is very faith-based. You know, that my parents went to Rhema Bible Training Center, and so from there, it's always been faith. And so prosperity doesn't make me uncomfortable. And for some reason, when I hear about the messages of prosperity, I'm like, you know, I think I got that down. Like, let's talk about something, because I've heard it all my life. And then Pastor goes on this like 3-week spree about talking about like what the Bible says about money and everything. And after I finish listening to it all, I'm like, one thing I can conclude is I do not know anything about prosperity or money. And there's always so much more to learn. And I don't know if you guys have followed through with like the challenges that Pastor has been giving about like sell something, right? And so I did. I was actually running while I heard it. And so I'm like, I know what I'm going to sell. And it's like such a like heart transforming moment where I'm like, oh, these things did have my heart. I didn't even know. I thought I was like fully, you know, committed into the things of God. And then all of a sudden, there was some things that I struggled with, because at one point I'm like, I'm just going to sell. And then I mentioned something. And I'm like, because that was just easy for me to sell. I could buy it later on. And the Lord was like, no, I want you to sell. And he said, I want you to sell your bike. And I'm like, that can't be God, because that bike is a testimony. It's like God gave me that bike. He wouldn't like. And so I'm like, no. So I'm like gonna try to sell. I went to Facebook Marketplace. I kid you not, I'm banned from Facebook Marketplace. I think it's because I was selling the wrong thing. And so I finally had to like sell the bike. And I'm so liberated. I'm so happy I get to tell you this. But if you haven't listened to this message or these messages, I would recommend to leave now and go listen to those things. But anyway, so today, it was really like a debate. I even talked with Pastor Chase about it. I'm like, should I keep going? But I don't know if I'm like worthy of, to keep going in the same direction. And so I kind of like want to give us something that will help is help me in life and hopefully helps you in life. And it's how to hear the voice of God. Because even with the topic of prosperity, the best way to move around about this topic is following the voice of God and is following his leading. And God will always lead you into a place of peace, into a place of prosperity. Like that's his MO, you know. But before there was original sin and an original curse, there was original blessing. Like God blessed before he ever set up any rules. He said, like, the first rule is I want you to be fruitful and multiply. Like that's his default setting. Like God sneezes and he blesses, right? Like that's like his way. That's why he says bless you, right? Because it's like, it's what happens when he, like who he is he wants to bless you. And sometimes people think, even in our world, people think like he's all about the rules and then blessing. But if you see, even in studying like hermeneutics in the Bible, the first thing that he does is not set up rules. The first thing that he does is he blesses. That's who he is. He wants you to be blessed. And so the best way, I believe, to find the blessing, live in the blessing, follow through with not just being blessed, but being a blessing, is following the leading of the Holy Spirit, following the leading, following his voice, being able to perceive his voice. So I want you guys tonight. Hopefully, I can do what a pastor has also been trying to do, and it's finished in the allotted time that we have. So this is gonna be interesting. but I want us to go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Had it on my phone. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10, and we'll read all the way down to probably verse 17. And 2 Timothy chapter 3 says, but you have carefully followed, my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Now, I like Paul because Paul was never shy about admitting his problems and admitting how his life was imperfect, and yet he followed the perfect plan of God. And so I enjoy knowing that it's not just us, you know. He the guy that wrote 2/3 of the New Testament also went through stuff. It says, and yes, verse 12, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Now, this verse is very important, and if you're someone that likes to highlight, I would highlight verse 14. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. This morning when we preached, we talked about how God would bless us, you know, for every good work. But then Paul goes on and also says, you know, but what you need for the plan of God isn't just money. Sometimes we think like the limiting factor is if I had money, I could follow through and do the work of the Lord here on earth. And yes, we do need the blessing of God, but we need more than just money. We need more than just finances. We need to know the Scripture. We need to know, you know, what we've been taught and follow through. And so I kind of want to talk about this. And it's just one of many things that we can learn about following the voice of God. And I wrote it down as like six indicators that you can use, kind of like a little checklist, you know, In Colombia, we call them testigos. And it's, you know, those lights that are on your car dashboard, and then they, like, tell you, like, something is wrong. It's terrifying to me. If there's a light on my dashboard, it causes anxiety because I do not know anything about cars. Nothing about, I know how to drive a car, and that is it. I know how to put gasoline in my car, but I prefer someone else to do it just because I do not like to mess with cars. It just, I have no idea. And so there's some people that are like car people, and that is great. I am not a car person. I do not know like what the motor is and what it means and how it works. I just know it like I go groom, groom, broom, broom, go, go. Like, that's it. I do not need any more instruction. And so, but I've learned that if a light turns on, then it's an indicator that it's communicating something, that it needs something, that it requires my attention. And so six indicators that I want you to have tonight. It's an easy list as an indicator that can show you when you are following the voice of God, when you are following the plan of God for your life. Check for these indicators. It's the life with God is a simple thing. It's not always an easy thing because God will ask you things that require faith, you know, require stepping out. But it is very simple. And sometimes it just, you know, we overcomplicate these things. As long as you follow the voice of God with like these six indicators. Now, this isn't like the law. You know, you guys can have like your own style, but this will hopefully help you follow through and be in the will of God. And I had a friend ask me the other day, I was in Cuba, and I was actually telling Pastor Chase this, because when I went into Cuba, they stopped me at the airport, and then they interrogated me for 3 hours. And so he's like, aren't you scared? Like, and we were actually talking about life insurance. And we were talking about life insurance yesterday too, right? And I'm like, I still don't have life insurance. I think that's something I have to get. In Colombia, life insurance doesn't exist. So, you know, like people are like shocked. Like, you don't have life insurance? It's like, I've lived in Colombia all my life. Like, we do not have life insurance because like it's a dying business there. You know, literally a dying business. Like, and so I don't, but maybe I should. But anyway, so he's asking me, he's like, don't you get scared? And I'm like, yeah, I do get uneasy. It's not fun, especially when they're like asking you and badgering you because they think you're hiding something, which I was, but I wasn't going to let them know that I was like, and so they're like, asking me, they're asking my friend too, what are you doing, why, do you have anything, and they're trying to ask us the same questions to see if we trip up and give a different answer. And so like I start getting like a little like aggravated, so like when I get aggravated, I get very sarcastic. And so they like they come around again, and it's like, so where are you staying? Why are you here? And I was like, as I've said 20 times before, and maybe you should write this down so you don't forget, I'm staying at this hotel. And then they're like, you know, people are shocked. But I was like, this is dumb. Like, are you going to take me to jail? Or are you going to let me go? Like, let's make this decision now. And so my friend was asking me, I was like, don't you get scared? I'm like, I do. It's uneasy. You know, I'd like to see my wife again and everything. But I've learned one thing is the safest place you could ever be in life is in the will of God. The safest place you could be is in the will of God. What makes me scared is not being in the will of God. And so that's why these indicators help me so much. Is I know the same thing. I've told you guys this before when I was leaving Venezuela. And you know, they're interrogating me because they knew I was hiding something. And I wasn't going to show them what I was hiding and everything. Again, I remember there was this peace that passed all understanding that guarded my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. I knew the safest place I could ever be, the most blessed place you could ever be, the most prosperous place you could ever be is in the will of God. Because when you're in the will of God, there will be provision for the vision. Wherever God is pointing with his finger, he's about to provide with his hand. Like, it's there where you need to be. And then you can live at peace. Even if it's in random airports and like random like rooms of an airport in Havana, Cuba. Like, it's the safest place you could ever be. And so how do we know if we are in the will of God and following through in the will of God? Well, the first indicator is probably the easiest indicator and is the indicator that we should all know by now. And it's the witness of his word. It's the word of God. That if it's not in the word of God, it will not be in the will of God. It's as easy as that. There are some people that make decisions You know, living in ministry all my life, and when you grow up in ministry, you get to see everything. You get to see like the most random things ever. I remember these people that came up to my dad, and he's like, "I'm getting a divorce because I feel led to divorce." And my dad was like, "Well, that's not right. He's like, God's not going to lead you against the word." And he was adamant about it. He's like, "I've dreamed it. I've prayed about it. I'm at peace about it." And my dad was like, "I don't care what you feel. It's if it contradicts the word of God, it's not God. Like, that's as simple as it gets." Now, you want it to, and there's a lot of us, you know, that this is what we do. We create a plan, and then we want God to bless it. But that's not following the plan of God. That's just asking God's blessing for the plan of you. But if you want to follow the plan of God, then you have to know it won't go outside the boundaries and the context of his word. If you keep it like that, as simple as that, it will save you from so much heartbreak. 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15 says, "This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." Some people like to read it this way, that if we ask anything, he hears us. But it is not what the word of God says. It says, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. That's the underlying factor that's important that we understand. Because sometimes we think, as long as I confess it enough, it's going to happen. And we manifest it. And whatever it is, that's not going to work. The word of God is very specific and very clear. When you ask according to his will, he'll hear you. But if it's not according to his will, he might have listened to you, but he won't follow through with it, because maybe if it's not in his will, it's not good for you. It says, "And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him." How do you know it will happen? If it's in his word, because he looks for his word to perform it. Like that's what he wants to perform, is what he has said. So sometimes we take God out of context. Sometimes we say stuff he hasn't said and we act like he said it. But and then we get frustrated when it doesn't happen. But if he didn't say it's going to happen, you know, he's only submitting to his word. He's not submitting to your whim. He submits to what he has said. He's not submitting to what you would like for him to have said. And so when you understand that, it's easy. It's fácil. You don't have to push it. You don't have to make it happen. You just let it happen. My dad always likes to say that. We have to just to learn how to flow with the word of God and not force the word of God. You know, like sometimes people use things out of context because they want, you know, Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things to Christ who strengthens me." Man, people use that all the time for whatever they want. And it's like, "Why are you divorcing your wife?" "Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Right? Like, "Why are you robbing the bank?" "Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." It's like, you can do all things if you take it out of context, for sure. But when you know the word of God, you stick to the word of God. And that's the first indicator that we need. Indicator number two, it's the witness of the Spirit. It's the testimony of the Spirit. Romans 8:14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." If you consider yourself a son or a daughter of God, you can be led by the Spirit of God. If you consider yourself a son and a daughter of God, which I think most of us consider ourselves, you know, part of the family of God, then it says that you can be led by the Spirit of God. Now, a lot of people struggle with this verse because they're like, I understand what it says, but I can't hear the voice of God. And sometimes the problem is not because of a lack of speaking on his part, is probably the lack of positioning on our part. That, you know, when God speaks in the word of God, he invites people to come close, because it's not just about what he's saying, it's about proximity to his presence. So you can't expect to hear God when you are not in the place where he's speaking. So a lot of people don't spend time in his presence, but they want to hear the voice of God. But if you're not where he's speaking, then you can't get mad to be saying, "Oh, you know, I wasn't at church. I didn't hear the message." And you get mad. It's like, "Oh, well, what did he say? He should have texted it to me." Well, no, just come to church. And then that's the way you can hear the pastor speak. In the same way, go into his presence and then you'll hear God speak. But if you're not going into his presence, then don't get mad when you don't hear the voice of God. Because when you, why is it important that we are sons and daughters of God? Sons and daughters have access. So not everyone has access. The devil doesn't know what God is saying, and he's not going to know what God is saying. But you get to know when you have access, and you partake of this access. As a preacher's kid, one of the best things that I had is I had access to my dad's office. And the reason why I liked it is because my dad would always have like marital counseling and other things in his office. So I got to hear the tea. I love it. You guys know me. I admit it. Like, I like to know. I am nosy. I really am. And I love it. Like, it feeds me. But I would have never heard it if I didn't have access and if I couldn't be where it was said. So, like, I knew everything. And, like, I know how to keep my mouth shut, but my ears are always open. Like, I'm telling you this. But why could I hear? Why did I know the things that I knew about my dad's church? Because I was in the place where it was spoken. How can you anticipate, you know, things that even happen? We mentioned it, like, a couple of weeks ago about the Mokan tribe in Thailand. How they It's a nomadic, it's an aquatic nomadic tribe. They live more on the ocean than they do on land. Their kids learn how to swim before they learn how to walk. And whenever the tsunami hit in like 2008 or something like that, they were documenting the Mokan tribe. And the Mokan tribe, hours before the tsunami, started crying and they ran to the mountains. A couple hours later, a tsunami hit. They knew before everyone else knew. Why? Because they lived in it. They could perceive, they could hear what no one could hear because they inhabited where no one inhabited. So you want to hear the voice of God, you got to be present where he's speaking. So number one, word of God, right? Number two, is be led by the Spirit of God. Number three, be led by your heart. You know, God will place holy desires in your heart. And when you renew your mind, what you are doing is you're cleaning out like the gunk of your heart to realize what truly is a desire of your heart. And you can be led by that too. Not just that. And please, let's not make the mistake of just like grabbing one of these indicators and running with it. No. All of these indicators should be saying the same thing. I'll give you an easy example. When I was a kid, I've wanted to be a lot of things in life. I wanted to be a cop. I wanted to be an astronaut. I wanted to be everything. At one point, my parents would ask me, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I'd just say, I just want to be rich. Whatever it takes. That's what I want to do. I want to be rich, right? But one thing I always knew, and it never left my heart, was missions. I didn't care if I wanted to be a cop. I wanted to be like a missionary cop, right? I wanted to be an astronaut. I wanted to preach to the aliens. Like, I wanted to be always, and that's one thing that no matter what happened was always in my heart. That's a desire that God places in your heart that nothing, no emotion, no situation can take away. And so when you're following the voice of God, when you're following the will of God for your life, this is one of those indicators. It's a yes to the yes that you've given God. It's a consistent thing. It's a consistent desire in your heart. Psalms 37 verse 4 says, take delight in the Lord and he will give you your heart's desires. These are strong and lasting desires. It's not a desire for a moment. It's not an emotional desire. It's something that burns in you constantly. And if you give it some time, and if you endure the test of time, you will start to realize which of these desires was placed by God. Because a God-given desire endures anything through time. Number four. I don't mean to rush through this, but I do want to give you all six. And so we've got like 8 minutes left. So here we go. So like, every 2 minutes, just tell me, next, and then we'll go. Number four, the witness of spiritual mentors, or there's different words and adjectives that we can use for this, but someone whose voice is heavy in your life, that you've given weight to their voice, that God has placed in your life, that can also corroborate what you've said. This being said, there's a saying that we have in Colombia. We like to say in Spanish is, el Señor es mi pastor y el pastor no es mi Señor. And what that means is, God is my shepherd and the shepherd or the pastor is not my God. And so we've seen it so many times where people will make decisions based on some other people's opinions. And then they are out of the will of God because their voice is so heavy in their life, it's so weighty in their life that they don't even listen to the voice of God. They're just listening, no, he said, I can't go, I can't go. And so we have to be careful with our spiritual mentors, you know, with the people that we've allowed authority in our lives. But even then, though, we still have to hear them. It's a good thing to bounce back an idea with someone that's more spiritual than you. Right? It's a good thing to bounce back an idea with the person that God placed in your life to help lead you. And so with that, ask your leader, ask your pastor. We should have that connection to where you could ask and then you can bounce back an idea. See, that they could. Well, my dad is my pastor, so I'll sometimes ask him. And it's hard sometimes because it becomes a sermon. Like his answer, instead of just like a touch and go, it's like, what do you think? And then 3 hours later, I regraduated from Bible school with him. And then he teaches me why it was a dumb idea. And I keep telling him, you should just say it's a dumb idea. I'll accept it. I don't need the whole study behind it. But that's who my dad is. But it's helped me so much. It has saved me from so much. I've told you this story before, but at one point, my dad's friend had come in and he wanted us to go in on this business. And if you know me, I love business. I love selling stuff. I love selling parrots, as you guys know, right? I like selling coffee and all of these things. So I see a business, and I'm there. I'm in. So I do the math real quick. I check out the market, everything. I'm like, this is a blessing. This is what the Lord had in store for us, right? And so I look at my dad. I'm like, this is a miracle. This is supernatural. We're going in on this. And so his friend leaves. And so I go to him. I'm like, Dad, this is it. How much are we putting in? And by we, I mean you. And my dad looks at me as like, I don't have peace. I'm like, no, we don't need peace. We need money. Keep your peace. We just need a couple of money to go in, and we'll go in because the math is mathing. It's perfect. My dad looks at me and is like, I do not have peace. I don't know. The Holy Spirit is not giving me peace on it. So he said, so if you want to go in on it, you can go in on it, but I'm not going to go in on it. So I look at him and I'm like, well, the Lord's also not giving me peace either, you know? And so I just wanted to test you. And to be honest, I mean, I didn't feel anything. I wanted to go in. But I respect him enough to know that, listen, if my papi doesn't have peace, I don't care. I don't have to pray about it. I know he's already prayed about it. Save me a prayer. But for a year, I was very frustrated because I would check the stock. I would check the whole thing, the business. And I'm like, it's doing so well. What about this isn't giving me peace. This is giving me anxiety watching it do so well. A year in, my dad walks in my office, did you see the news? I'm like, what's the news? So I check. And the one thing that would never have happened ever in the history of businesses happened. And I don't want to say more details because you'll Google it. And so I looked at him and my dad's like, I told you. I was like, yeah, I knew. I had a piece. But it is a good indicator. It will save you from so much heartbreak to learn from the people that have had their hearts broken. Right? It's just intelligent to hear about other people's wisdom. It saves you time, saves you heartbreak, it saves you pain. Let's be humble enough to be able to listen to their voice and honor their voice as well. Number five, the witness of circumstances, open and closed doors. Sometimes it's as easy as that. The reason why I put this as number five and not number one is because there's a lot of people that make the mistake of walking through an open door thinking that only God can open them. And the enemy can open up a door. As long as it takes you out of the will of God, the enemy will open any doors. I've met people where they're like, a business just opened. They want to hire me. The only thing is I can't go back to church, but to God be the glory. I'm not one to judge. And maybe it was God. I don't know. But that doesn't sound like him. God's not about to bless you out of his will, right? So just because the circumstance is perfect doesn't mean it's God's perfect will for your life. But then again, when it is God's perfect will for your life, the circumstance is going to align to everything else. The door will be open where no man can shut. And so you have to measure it as well. Like if everything is just going against it and you think it's the will of God, well, maybe it's not. Or maybe you have a witness in your spirit. And even though everything is going against it, you've got peace about it. You know, the word of God is on your side. The Holy Spirit is leading you to it. And you're about to win and see something supernatural. I get that. But I've noticed, at least in my life, where when it is the will of God, you know, the door continues to be open. To where I don't have to rush through doors. I don't have to rush through circumstances. Because when it is God, it says no man can shut it. So I'm good. Because if that door is going to be, if God opened that door, there's no man that can shut it. And if a man shut it, maybe it's not a door that God opened. So I'm not going to force anything. I'm going to flow. I'm going to go at the speed of peace. I'm going to go at the cadence of the word of God. Not go ahead. It's like Joshua chapter 3, where they're about to cross the river. And there's one of those rules where God says, you have to be like 200 cubits behind the presence of God. And the message there is you don't get ahead of God. You always have to follow God. Follow his leading. Follow his presence. And, you know, the people that were carrying the ark, they weren't running. They were being very careful. But the best place you can be is in the will of God. The best pace that you can have in life is the pace of the presence of God. And why? Because when God decides to open the door, man, what you haven't done in 10 years, he can do in a minute. So you just have to be happy. You don't think you're losing your time. No, what you are is you're gaining experience in his presence to the point where what you didn't accomplish in 5 years, God accomplishes like that. But you go at the pace of his presence. So the witness of circumstances. And then the last witness, and I'll be finished, is the witness of faith. The word of God says the just will live by faith. It's a lifestyle. I've mentioned this in a couple of weeks ago. We were on family vacation in the Caribbean in a city called Santa Marta. And I was happy. I'm very happy. I'm easily happy with these things. And so I'm like in the ocean. I see my daughter. She's happy. And so I look at my wife and I'm like, this is it. Like, I don't need more. This is cool. We could always get another car. Yes, we could always buy a house. All these things. I understand. But if this is it, I'm happy. God has been way too good for me to complain. And so, like, it was a good, like, contentment moment. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit just, like, goes at me in the Caribbean. And he's like, faith is a lifestyle. Faith isn't just a rescue. Faith is a lifestyle. You don't use faith to rescue you from things. It's a way of life. And if you don't want to believe for anything else for you, believe for someone else. But faith is a lifestyle. The just will live by faith, won't survive by faith. It will live by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's something that has to be consistent, constant in your life. So what I'm saying is, in the will of God, whatever God is calling you to do, it's going to require faith. Like the door can be open, the word of God, you know, the mentor, everything is in line, and you're still going to have to take that step. Like, it's not just going to be, you know, laid out perfectly where it's like, oh, this is so easy. Like, someone else going to know. It's meant to be glorifying God. So whatever you are doing, whatever you are called to do, the best place you can be, the safest place you can be, the most blessed place you can be is in the will of God. And in the will of God, it's going to require faith. It's going to require knowing things, even when you can't see, but knowing who God is, knowing his word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. And this is how we circle back to point number one, that you have to know the word of God. You have to follow through. It's what Paul was saying in 2 Timothy. He's like, follow through with what you've already learned and follow through and continue with what you've already learned. You never outgrow the word of God. The word of God continues to grow in you. There's more depth to your knowledge of the word of God. There's more revelation to the word of God. Continue in the word of God. It'll generate faith for what God is calling you to do. Because I believe, not just for this campus, but as like a church in general, we are moving into a new season. And new seasons generate new rules. I went to bed with this thought. It's a butterfly can't live with caterpillar rules. And this is what this is where we are right now. We're walking into a new season of transformation of everything, but we can't be acting like we used to act. We can't be, you know, talking how we used to talk. There is a transformation happening. There's new rules for us now. There needs to be more depth in our knowledge of the Word of God. There needs to be a more, like, more sincerity and more acuteness in listening to the voice of the Spirit. You can't just be saying, like, whatever pastor says. No, what has the Spirit said? And let pastor corroborate what the Spirit said. But you are a son and a daughter of God. You can hear His voice. Because we're moving into, I believe it's like revival. Like it's got like there's revival vibes, right? Like but we need more depth. We need to know His voice. We need to be in the will of God. We need to be prepared for what God is calling us to do. I believe with it, there's blessing, there's finances, but there's also peace. There's less anxiety. There's a certainty in our voice and in our walk with God. But this comes from knowing God. This comes from knowing Him and the power of His resurrection. This comes from God not just being someone we visit, it's someone we know. And when you know who He is, then you can live at peace knowing that I'm in the best place I could ever be. What is that? The will of God. I'm in the safest place I could ever be. Where is that? The will of God. I'm in the most blessed place I could ever be in. Where is that? The will of God. Where you can be content, at peace, joy unspeakable and full of glory. You're not pushing stuff. You're not forcing stuff. You're just flowing in the Spirit. Father God, we thank You for this day. And we thank You once again for being so faithful in our life. We thank You, Father, for Your Word. We thank You for the power of Your Word of God that brings transformation to our life. Father, we thank You that we are meant to live by faith and not by sight. And that as we know Your Word, as we perceive Your voice, as we have more clarity in Your voice, we are led into whatever You have prepared for us. We thank You, Father, that You are the author and the finisher of our faith, and that we follow through with everything that You've already written for us. It is happening, it is done, and we give You glory, and we give You honor, and we give You praise. We thank You, Father, for Your Word. We thank You for Your presence. We thank You for the leadership that You have placed in our life. We thank You, Father, for opening doors that no man can shut. But we also thank You, Father, for shutting doors that don't need to be opened. We thank You, Father, for surrounding us with the people of faith that will bring us closer to You. We thank You that Your will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. We glorify You. And we give You honor and praise. Thank You for the will that You have towards us. Thank You for writing the best things for our life. Thank You for being the author of our life. And we wait with expectation. We flow with expectation. We walk with You expecting greater things. Things that we have not even thought of. Things that we haven't even asked of. But we thank You, Father, that You can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we could ask or think. Thank You, Father, that You are about to do things that we've been scared to ask for. You are about to do things that we've been scared to think of because it's impossible. But what's impossible for man is possible for You. So with expectation, we give You glory. With expectation and with faith, we declare we will see those things come to pass here in this campus, here in this city, here in our life. It will come to pass in the name of Jesus. Amen.